everybody. It's the Latch Mama Podcast. I'm Melissa, your host, and I'm here today with Lindy, your other host. Hi, Lindy.
Hello.
For those of you who are new to the Latch Mama Podcast, the Latch Mama Podcast is a podcast for you all, the mothers and families in the trenches of motherhood. I'm Melissa. I'm the founder and CEO of LatchMama.com, which is an online e-commerce store for nursing, pregnant, not nursing, not pregnant, moms or women or not, whatever. A whole bunch of stuff for all sorts of different people. We have an amazing online community as well, Latch Mama Love. You can check us out there on Facebook. And I am joined weekly by my bestie slash creative counterpart, Lindy, who does all sorts of creative stuff here. She keeps me sane. Together, we have 12 children. Sometimes it probably would be better if we were all under one roof. We'd probably co-parent a lot better sometimes than we do with our partners. But alas, we are here to talk to you guys today about a whole lot of nothing. No, just kidding. No. We do have an article that we're going to go over in a second. But first, we're going to catch up.
Yeah.
Sometimes this podcast is the only time that we really get to talk to each other. You're listening to Latch Mama Podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Wirt, busy mom of six and owner of LatchMama.com. Join us each week as we talk about pregnancy, breastfeeding, postpartum, and all things motherhood. How was spring break? Lindy went away with half of the staff here at Latch Mama for a week. I'm still kind of recovering from that.
That's probably out what why spring break Chesterfield County schools look absolutely like every year at Latch Mama.
Yeah. We might just need to turn the website off. Yesterday I said we might just need to turn the website off for a week next year during spring break. Literally 2/3 of the leadership team was gone. It was almost impossible. Lauren doesn't feel well today, which is probably her just recovering from doing like 17 people's jobs last week. And then I had drama at home and it was just like a whole big nightmare.
It's a lot.
But I want to hear about your spring break. It was good.
Oh, it was good. It was really good. We had a few snafus, which we talked about. I had a sick kiddo for one day. So what we did, we went on a cruise with my parents and my brother and his family. We had a really good time. The kids had a blast. Enjoyed time with my parents, which is good. But I did have a sick kid one day. Thankfully, nobody. It was just a 24-hour thing. Nobody else caught anything. One of my boys likes to wear his Sherpa zip-up fleece and like sweatpants all everywhere, even in 95-degree heat. And so he had one day where he kind of fainted. But anyways, other than that, it was great. I would not drive that far again during spring break where it's so cramped to be back by a certain time. But it was good.
Yeah, I desperately needed Lindy to come back because we have like this big week at Latch Mama. We're dropping our swim pre-sale and it was like this whole big thing. But I was like, I don't want to bug her. So like 7 o'clock Sunday night, I was like, please, Lord, have her have gotten off of that boat. And she's like, hey, I'm still like 4 hours out. And I was just like, and then my heart went like straight from like non-work mode to, oh my gosh,
no.
She is racing on the way home to, I don't know.
Oh,
I just,
I'm sorry.
No. I guess what I'm saying is I felt so bad for you knowing that you had to get kids to bed and then up the next day for school, but it was only like a half a day of school.
Yeah,
because
I knew it was just going to kind of be a bit of a crazy day. Gave them the option. My littles were up at the crack of dawn and I was like, well, you can go to school because I'm going into the office and then I don't have to leave you home by yourselves.
Yeah.
And my big one slept a little bit.
But I think we're just now getting our feet back under us a bit.
Yeah.
Ready to launch swim.
Whew.
Question for you. Did you end up looking at the eclipse? Because there was this whole big thing. So you know how like sometimes like right before you have to do something, you're like, oh, I haven't thought about that yet. Lindy just kind of looked at me because she had been on this cruise and then driven home. And then it was Monday. And then we were all going home to our families either to watch the eclipse or schools were out early or whatever. She's like, can I ask what exactly is happening? And I was like, what? And she's like, what is happening? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I mean, is it gonna get like pitch dark? Like what's gonna happen?
And I knew I was the like, basics, but like what to expect. And then it's like between 2 and 4:30 and I'm like, so are people sitting in their cul-de-sac for 2.5 hours? Like
every like 10 minutes on Monday because she was so tired. She'd be like, okay, so what time is this happening again? What? Okay, hold on. So what time is this happening? And I kept saying like 3:19 because that was when it was supposed to be like the biggest eclipse that there was. And she's like, but hold on. What happens before that? What happens after that? Does it just like go away immediately at 3:20? Oh my God. It was so funny because your mom's tired brain.
My mom gave me glasses like three times because she brought over before the cruise. She's like, these are packs of glasses for the eclipse. And I'm like, I literally have no idea what you're talking about, but thank you so much. She's like, it's on the Monday after we get back, da, 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 da. And I'm like, a retired 60-some-year-old brain right now, because that's not on my radar at all. But thank you for the glasses.
So last eclipse in 2017, we had already been down in Myrtle at our condo, and totality was very, very close to that. Totality is like where the moon and the sun complete. So we stayed, and I was pregnant with number three. I was pregnant with number four. I had Nathan, Alex, and Caroline with me, and we didn't know how busy it was going to be. We went to this community college for their watch party, and it was like literally like 4 hours outside in the sun trying to keep these kids alive. I don't really have the most joyful memories about the experience, but I do remember we had acquired a lot of glasses. I remember just having a lot of glasses. So Saturday I asked Eric, I said, do we have any glasses left? Mm-hmm. And he's like, of course we have glasses left. He goes and puts his hands on the glasses from 2017, knew exactly where they were. Okay. Best part about it is he still remembers what pair each of the kids wore. So we were able to take pictures with them with the same ones because I don't know. There's all different kinds of glasses. Okay. So I come home and there were people in my neighborhood group who didn't have glasses, and it was like 20 minutes before the eclipse. And I asked him if I could go generously put some in our mailbox and put in the neighborhood Facebook group that we had extra glasses, because we had like 24 pairs of glasses. Okay. Yeah. Do you want to know what he said to me? He did give me five to put in the mailbox.
Okay.
But he said in 2040, whatever, when it comes again, he said, we're going to need enough for the grandkids. And I was like, what? And he's like, you know, we're not going to, now that you put five in the mailbox, we're not going to have enough for the grandkids. I was like,
can't you buy these again?
Our grandkids? And he's like, well, why would we buy more when we have enough here and I can just keep them safe for the next 20 years? So you talk about the retired grandma brain. Can I just get the husband brain? Like who has room to
you
be
can
like,
buy more.
I need to keep these in a safe location for the next 20 years until we have grandkids.
Oh,
no,
because
there's, I don't think it's the money. I think it's like the idea that these are our family paper eclipse glasses. And so then we watch the eclipse, and then the kids, of course, get bored and they start running all over the place. Mm-hmm. They go to the trampoline, the playground, go see the cow, whatever. If that man did not stand in the driveway and go,
collect.
Everyone, I need your glasses. I mean, chasing kids down, yelling at them to bring the glasses back because God forbid the paper glasses get broken and we can't use them in 20 years for their grandkids. Oh, God bless him. I love him.
Did you do your Oreos?
I did not do my Oreos. Okay. Yeah, no, I sat outside, but I did reenact the pictures. I don't know if you saw them on Facebook or Instagram had done in 2017, which was really fun.
I wasn't sure what to expect because I was like, it's not going to get like pitch black, but I thought it would get a little darker
than it did. It didn't get
very dark here, but it was really interesting to see. I don't think I did it any of the other times that I've been alive and it has happened. But it was really interesting to look and see. It was really cool.
I was
out there with some kids, not every. Lennox was at the sand court, and I'm like, oh my God, heaven help me. He's probably just going to stare at the sun the entire time. And
you couldn't tell.
He comes home from there. He's like, I looked at it like five times. I'm like, oh my gosh, child, you're going to like spots in your
but
eyes.
But you
forever.
Can't even tell without, like, you in Virginia, you could have just not looked up at the sun.
It looked
or
like
not,
a cloudy
and it,
day.
It literally was just like, you wouldn't have even been able to tell anything happened. Yeah. But it was still really, really cool.
It was cool to do. I got a couple pictures, but.
Yeah.
So we did that, and then life went on.
Yeah, life just kept going on. It's like one of those things that's like the build up and school's canceled and everything's crazy, and then it's like, okay.
Well, that's where I was like, oh, I totally understand. It's going to be like a really dark or something, and the bus is in the safety, and I'm standing there going, and why are you home? Like, this is just like a cloudy day. Anyways, I don't know what exactly their reasons are, but.
Science. I'm glad that it's behind us. It's kind of one of those like check off of the week things. So the eclipse is behind us. I'm going to my first car auction tomorrow. I'm telling everybody about it. I'm really excited because we need a new value car. And I'm
going
to go
bypass. Is it like going around
1,000%.
Do you have like a little
thing? No, you have a sticker on your shirt.
Do you yell out your number?
But I could just bid online. But I'm not going to bid online. I'm going to go stand toe-to-toe with all of the men there. And I'm going to bid on my value car. And I
love that. I need a video.
I need to print out all my PDFs and figure out how much I'm willing to spend. Because we're a car down after our experience this week with our lovely au pair.
I thought Eric was driving. No, the au pair was driving?
No, the au pair was driving.
Oh.
The au pair, the kids are fine, but the au pair may or may not have hurt one of our vehicles to the point where it is no longer drivable on our driveway.
Okay.
So it's fine. All
right.
It's
operation.
All good. So operation
fill
value
the car slot.
Mm-hmm. is going to happen. And I'm bypassing all of the nice people on Facebook who I do not want to buy cars from right now because they don't seem to be very kind back to me.
Okay.
So I'm going to bypass them and I'm going to go to the source, which is the car auction.
Okay.
And I am going to.
That's a really cool experience.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Can you take a video?
To check it off. You can go to
the
Instagram
page. Yell your number out?
I think.
What do you do?
I think some people like raise their fingers up. I think I'm going to go up. Like maybe I haven't figured out exactly what my bid sound is yet. Yep. I don't know. I need to come up with my bid thing. But Eric's very conflicted because Eric doesn't like to spend money at all. And now this is somewhat of a necessary purchase because the au pair does need a car. But Eric doesn't like to spend money, but Eric also very much likes life experiences, and he very much, I think, wouldn't go do this without me actually like leading and doing it.
Okay.
So whether he goes with me on Friday or not is going to be the question, because he's not going to like me going up or yep. Yep, I don't know what I'm going to say yet. As the price goes up, so he's going to be very conflicted if he's very proud of his wife bidding on like a 2007 car or whether he's just gonna be upset I'm spending money. I don't know.
All I can think about is on Schitt's Creek, she's bidding on the mattress. They're going back and forth on it. And he's like, we don't have that money. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's gonna be it's gonna be fun. Ooh, I hope you get it. I have my eye
on one
car.
One?
Okay. I don't know. I have a few different options. There's a 2007 Odyssey that I could technically get, and we could Frankenstein the car
two together.
And the other one, not like from an engine perspective, but like that could be the body and it needs a wheel. And I have a few wheels parked at my farm right now because the wheels are okay on the car. It's just the rest of it.
But Ken said, does he have the skills to do that?
I believe that he may be able to take a wheel off of a car. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm a little worried I'm going to get him a project and he's not going to want to do it, but it's fine. We're going to figure it out. Value minivans are all the rage all over Facebook right now, and I will be able to sell it if not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, that's my story. That's my adventure for the week, as well as launching Swim and getting spring stuff here, which I'm super excited.
Me too.
What we're really supposed to talk about this week is a study that came out talking about what the benefits are to employers who actually assist employees with childcare. So one in three employees. So everywhere you go, if you're buying things or doing things or you see people at their jobs, one in three of those people have families that they have to somehow navigate work and absence and everything with. So this study just basically went into play of how employers can assist employees with that type of stuff. I mean, for most of you guys know here at Latch Mama, we allow our employees to bring their babies to work for the first year/plus from there until it becomes more of a liability or safety issue here in the warehouse. But then we're also really flexible in terms of sick babies and missing work and stuff like that. With that, we try to give moms about as much grace as we possibly can and still be functioning as a company.
It was a really interesting article, and I don't remember the exact numbers and percentages, but, you know, this is kind of what I know and what I've experienced here, but the different options that they gave those companies and that some use, whether it's a stipend or whether it's specific days or hours or, you know what I'm saying? Or whether it's on site. So that was interesting as well.
I think sometimes we read about these big companies doing things And as moms, I think our brains can go one of two ways. I think we can go, wow, this is amazing, or wow, that doesn't even scratch the surface. And I really try to stay in that at least they're doing something. We need to talk about what they're doing. UPS rolled out an emergency childcare situation on site at one of their warehouses, which is incredible. And they said that it prevented 3+ absences just in that warehouse per week. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works. I get a little skeptical of the details of, are those kids sick that are coming in? Why are they not in their current childcare situation? Who knows? Not my problem, but UPS thinks they're going to roll it out in like 17 other locations in 2025 or something, which is incredible. Yeah. Because what starts to happen is that the childcare situation in the United States is so broken and so expensive that business owners can't help but ignore it, or can't help but act on it and not ignore it. So I think that sometimes you look at it and you're like, wow, UPS really cares about families. And I think that they probably do. But my guess is that absences got so high at some point that they had to figure out how to invest their money in a way that evened it out,
right,
and allowed them to still be productive,
yeah,
and get things out.
And those numbers, just in the kind of the contentment and lowering anxiety and lowering stress, because you don't just make decisions for your job based on like how you feel and what works for you. It's almost a family decision, and especially for women, where a lot of that childcare falls on us within a family unit, right or wrong. But
I think that sometimes business owners also sometimes can lose sight of the fact that some of us, most of us, I think moms are programmed to want to make people happy. And I think that you have to, of course, the kids are going to come first. But I think some of the stories I've heard, you know, it's like, oh, you know, Susie's missed work 3 days this week because she has a sick kid. Must be nice to stay at home and watch the Today Show or whatever all day, you know, where, yes, maybe she's just nursing a sick kid. A kid can't go to daycare, but I can bet you $1 million that she feels terrible for missing work. And then there's just the anxiety that gets wrapped up in it. And then the rage. And are you grumpy at dinner time with your sick kid when it's absolutely not their fault? But where do you place that? Because you feel like you're letting people down.
And I bet you, for the most part, she's at home doing that house stuff that she may normally do at 8 or 9 p.m. after bedtime. Or a lot of work is remote these days, too. She's probably trying to do both and keep up, you know, she just can't physically leave them or something like that.
The study and the satisfaction that actually the employees have that then goes back to the employer is amazing. Like, it's just the idea that, and I've always said it, like, if you see somebody for who they are and you see them as a whole person and you say, okay, you're a mom first and then you're an employee second, and I'm going to value you, and I'm going to say, hey, if you need to bring your kid to work, or if your kid is out of school, we had three elementary school kids here during spring break every day. They were running around the warehouse. They were adorable. I would check on them. Everybody would check on them when they went into the kitchen, you know, ask them how they were doing. I mean, I remember going to work with my dad growing up.
Yeah, remember to take your kid to work day?
Yes. Yeah.
Do they still do that?
I don't know.
I always thought that was really cool.
But I remember at times where I guess I probably wasn't supervised. Nobody could be with me and I wasn't old enough to stay alone. But I would sit in the back of my dad's office. It was terrible. But I would sit in the back and I would purge all of his old files. Because like, he's an optometrist and you have to keep files for like 5 years or something. So I would go through and look at all the dates and throw them all away. I was a terrible employee. Like, I wasn't an employee, but I was a terrible worker. I would sit with my little, like, Walkman on, my Boys to Men tape, and I would listen to that. And then I would be allowed to walk next door to Burger King to get lunch. And then every once in a while I'd come to the front, and eventually he let me like play receptionist, and that helped a little bit. But it was pretty terrible, but it was simply because he couldn't miss work. I mean, he had patients to see and I couldn't be home alone.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful that he owned his own practice at the time, and that's an option. But for the families that wasn't an option, that's not an option for, I mean, what do you do?
Yeah.
We were talking about even the eclipse. I mean, what happens when school gets out early? Are parents asking to come home, or hourly employees, when you need that money to pay rent and to put food on the table? How can a school system just cancel school like that? How does that work?
I don't know. I mean, I think some people, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but you know, they're not required to watch our kids or have our kids in there for more than a certain number of hours. So I do know this year they've kind of thrown out these, oh no, school's actually ending the Friday, like May 31st. We're not going to have the 2 half days on June 2nd because they build in some snow days and things like that. So if we don't ever use them, well, now they start cutting those off.
Yeah.
But yes, like I do wonder, I mean, working Latch Mama, it's incredible. If I have to go pick up my kids, I can go pick them up.
Yeah.
But I do think a lot of kids, they get off the bus and they walk home alone.
That's what I did.
To nobody.
Growing up.
Which, yeah, I mean, sometimes I would be there. My mom tried to be there after school, but I think that's what happens. And you have just more kids at home that are unsupervised or on their own.
But you have kids that are too young to do that.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. It's all just so fascinating to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I just feel like there's such an easy in-between. It does not cost that much money to invest in your employees in the sense that allows them to be fully present at work. You know, like if you do give them a child care stipend or you do. So Etsy gives their employees emergency child care stipends. So I think that they actually do it through care.com. I remember if I read correctly. I don't know. I could be wrong. Once
upon a
time,
they can use their money through there to find other help.
At other corporate. I think it's Etsy out of their corporate office or they're at home. I don't know.
Okay.
It's emergency childcare. So if they need like a last minute, if school's canceled or their kid's sick or something like that, they give them, I think it's like $4,000 a year to put towards.
Because sometimes money's great, but sometimes the hardest part is
finding
the options.
The people. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it's,
but at least it's something. It's exploring options. Yeah.
Which is, you know, I think just really, it's just this really hard type of thing. You just wish it worked better, you know, and wish there was other options. But anyways, the moral of the story was that employers definitely see a return in investing in childcare options for their employees, which
100%
has always been the case here. But I would love to see it elsewhere as well.
Yeah.
Cool.
Agreed.
So our last segment.
Nice. Yeah.
My phone keeps ringing because life does not stop for these podcasts. Last segment is we like to take our favorite question of the week from our Facebook group, which is Latch Mama Love, and we like to discuss it. So today is a very random question, but I think it's a very applicable question to all stages of life, including motherhood. And the question is it ever too late to send a thank you card? Lindy, Reif, what
and
is your mama taught you?
The answer is always no. It is never too late to say thank you for anything.
I agree. And I think, okay, so this is really, really bad. I'm still married, which is good. He didn't leave me. But once upon a time, it was probably 5 years after we got married, Eric found all of the wedding thank you cards that I never put in the mail in the junk drawer in the kitchen. I wrote them. It was not all of them. I believe some of them got in the mail, but there was a good handful of them, including to two people who are deceased, who were deceased by the time he found said cards.
Okay.
He didn't talk to me for a few hours, but he's a huge thank you card person. Like his mother raised him after every birthday, after everything, you write a thank you card.
So did he make you put them in the mail?
I don't remember what I did. I think we sent them. And I think I was very embarrassed because it wasn't like I got to write the card again and say, hey,
I'm really sorry.
This has taken me so long. I just want to let you know that I use the platter that you gave us at our wedding every Sunday night for family dinner. No, that was not what I was able to do. It was definitely a 5 year earlier card dated that then eventually got in the mail.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it wasn't good. I also then saw, I actually thought about this because ironically, when Eric and I went away in January for like our first kid-free vacation, we filled in a spot on my, I think I told you guys this, I don't know. I filled in a spot on my parents' yearly trip with my dad's college friends. So it was Eric, myself, and then three 70-year-old couples.
Yes.
But my dad was generous enough to invite us to go with him. But one of the couples that I don't believe ever received a thank you card was on that trip. I don't think that they probably remember, but I was that's why you send thank you cards, guys, because you don't know when you're going to be in the Cayman Islands at some point with your father's college roommate freaking 17 years later. And you have to look at him and say, oh, shit, I never sent you the thank you card for the money you gave me when I got married.
And here's my thought. Nowadays, like things have come a long way. Whether it's a thank you card, whether it's a quick phone call, yes. whether it's a quick email or a text, like a thank you is a thank you. Yes. So like sometimes like the card and writing and all that can be really overwhelming, but
yes.
a thank you is a thank you. So.
Yes. Live life with a grateful heart. Literally showing gratitude has been proven because I'm a gratitude whore. Meaning I like to give it, not take it. Taking it makes me feel very uncomfortable, but gratitude is actually like right there with like exercise in life. Like it can make you feel the same endorphins and happiness that like moving your body can. So on days wow. you don't want to move your body or go for a walk, just make a list of all of the things you're grateful for and then send some text messages and reach out to people.
Oh,
yeah.
Good thing to remember.
See, I'm I grateful like for you, Lindy. Thank Look you for coming home.
That's the next segment is like a tip.
Yes.
Oh, Melissa, is that the tip? Yes. No, I'm making yes. up a new segment.
My tip is when you're feeling down and you don't want to get off the couch and you don't want to go for a walk or you don't want to do all of the good things that you know you're supposed to do, just pick up your phone and text a couple people because connection and gratitude together are like the secret sauce to happiness. And it's like the best drug cocktail you can give yourself in your brain. That's okay. all.
Look at that.
Next week, we're talking to the CEO and founder of Series Chill, which is a milk storage system for pumping and expressing moms that can keep your milk cold without refrigeration for over 21 hours. Isn't that insane?
I think that's insane because I pumped with the twins and I didn't have a lot of these new things.
Can you imagine?
You know?
Yeah. So I'm super stoked, especially to talk entrepreneurship and fun stuff with another person who's rocking it.
Awesome.
We also have something else in common too, but we don't get to tell you guys that yet. I need to get on that. I need to go work on that now. Big announcement coming very, very soon. So stay tuned. We'll see you next week. Bye, guys.